All right, I'm talking to John Burke, and he's just mentioned in particular that other groups were absorbed by STEP, which I will look into, and in particular that Helen Peterson, or Preston, is probably worthy of a greater mention than I've given her, and in particular her award from Ku-ring-gai Council, wasn't it?
No, from the federal government. Yes, you got a gong. It's mentioned in that newspaper article.
Oh, yeah.
She got an OAM. So I did the work. Oh,
that's
and,
certainly worth a mention, if I haven't mentioned it.
Yeah, but the other thing in there is that I say here in reference to something else. What I didn't mention there, because it was inappropriate in a letter to council, was that her achievements were in the face of unremitting hostility from key councillors and sections of the community in the early years. Bushland
that,
management was
that
a new
hostility community. Reduced, though, didn't it?
Well, it did, and I want to talk about the Bushland management working party.
Mm. You were heavily involved in that.
Which, yes, but so was she. She talked me into joining, and people like Harley Wright and Janet Fairley Cunningham were there in the early days.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that. If we're going to continue to work through this, there isn't much else. Yes, there is. After I spoke about Helen, what I've done here is I have in point five. You'll get eventually to point five.
This one?
Yeah. So that is an excerpt from this family history that I've just written that I told you about. And I think it also gives some background on what STEP was doing, because STEP was one of my major involvements in the environment.
Now, one thing I was going to ask you was how you first got involved, and it seems to be dealt with here. It was when you moved to this address.
When I moved to this address.
Because you obviously weren't South Tarramurra, and you obviously weren't involved in the original netball courts.
That's right. That all passed me by.
Yes.
Because I lived somewhere else at that stage. I got involved because I lived here. I saw an article in the Herald that the bush regeneration course was being run by the trust, by the National Trust. I did that, and two of my teachers were Robin Buchanan and Helen Peterson.
Okay.
Now, Robin is a great teacher, as you're aware, but it was the other one. It was Helen, who was just inspirational. She and I think Janet had been instrumental in forming the Bushland Management Working Party, in getting council to agree to it,
mm-hmm.
and she talked me into applying to that, and also applying to join the STEP committee. I had already joined STEP as an ordinary member. Yeah, it was really Helen Peterson who talked
to me. So you would have joined about the time that all the kerfuffle about freeways down the valley was in the public eye.
Well, even before that, in the early 80s, I joined. You can see probably from this little thing here, when did I appear on the committee? Committee members...
I can tell you, 84.
1984, yes.
Yep.
That's right.
Okay, so the freeways really 1990s, wasn't it, the early 90s?
Yeah. the freeways, as you said, it gets a bit confusing, as you said somewhere there, but the whole lot of proposals went through various iterations. So there is some background there, which I think some of which is relevant. I didn't try to pick the sentences that were relevant. That's just one section of 160,000 words in this family history.
I mean, I don't want to spend too much time on individual people.
No.
Because
there
were so many who probably should have time spent on them.
No. What I'm getting to here is not the bits that are about me, but the bits about what was going on.
Yes.
And I have written a fair bit about that.
Sure.
I'm quite happy for you to leave me out. And then I say point six, at some point you must be able to acknowledge people with... If you're going to say thanks for somewhere maybe for all these people for assisting. I just thought we should give them their proper doctorate titles and things.
I tend not to use. I don't use it for me. I'm a doctor, but I doctorate. Yeah. But I tend not to use them, and I certainly don't use sirs and things like that.
Well,
but if you think I should have OAM where it's appropriate,
I would defer to what Jill and Helen have to say.
Yes,
they're in charge of this. But to me, it's more advertising the sort of people we had on the committee rather than pandering to their egos. I don't think these people have that sort of ego. I think it will tell the world that these are the sort of people that we have involved.
Yes,
and that's where I'm coming from. I'm a bit like you when I was in the company that I ran. I wouldn't let anybody put their titles on their business card because that really wasn't relevant. And I didn't put my title on mine. But now, what will we do next? Maybe the Bushland Management Working Party. I just dragged out some files that I still have and I just dumped them here. I'm not suggesting we need to read them or anything. Most of the STEP files that I ended up with for some reason or other, people kept giving them me, are gone. I filled up whole of these big bins with files.
Yes, yes.
The thing that I think it's hard to to get maybe through looking at the reports and the minutes of meetings and newsletters is just the enormous amount of work that so many people have put in. The thousands and thousands of reports, and maybe it's not thousands, it's many, many hundreds. There are whole files full of reports that on all sorts of things that come up. Because of STEP's position in the community, council was always saying, we've got a recreation needs study. Did I drag that out? And you know, there were all these studies, new versions of the plans of management.
Yes.
Recreational.
So you're responding to all of those.
All of these things. Yes. You know, so they weren't all things where we were in an adversarial position.
No.
That they were just things that needed to be commented on and where we could make a useful input. And because of the reputation that STEP built up over the years, which I think is still there, which we'll get to when we talk about the future, that there is an awful lot of value in the brand.
So you're obviously saying that the council came around to appreciating STEP much more.
Yes, and you will find information on that written in what I've written about Helen and what I wrote in my own history. You'll find more stuff there.
Yes.
They did. Let's then talk about the Bushland Management Working Party, because that was a major thing and probably one of the most important things that STEP has ever been involved in, because it created that, it expedited that transition from where council regarded people like us as basically a left-wing pinkos, tree huggers, to where they came to respect and value our opinions.
Is it still going?
No. Oh, well, there's always, you know.
Yeah.
But it's been pushed out to the far right, out to the rat bags. So what happened when the Bushland Management Working Party was formed? We had a director of parks in Quingo Council called Andrew Guest, who was a very nice fellow, but did not have a clue about ecosystems, the bushland, anything else. And you know, council had been talked into this committee. We started off. There was about two or three aldermen on the committee. Michael Kartsoff, a woman called Ray Kenny or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they were just sort of stunned by what we had to say. They were also a bit bored, and they all fell away. So over the first year, as I recall, the interest from the councillors reduced to the point where they weren't there. Then they said, well, the Bushland Management Board can continue to meet here, but you're on your own. Okay. So from that point on, we had to supply our own books for the...
So it ceased to be a committee of council.
No, it was still a committee of council. We still did reports, which went up to council. So we maintained that, but they weren't going to... I think they hoped we'd go away. And so we kept pushing on and pushing on. And having some success in changing views, and then what happened over the years, over the 5 or 6 or 7 years, places like Macquarie University started having degree courses in environmental management.
Yes.
So over a period of maybe 10 years, let's say, for argument's sake, the Bushland Management Working Party went from the positioning council, where it was supplying all the technical input, all the new ideas, all that sort of stuff, to the point where 10 years after, we had these new people coming in, like a Robin Grimwade, with degrees, who didn't really need that input from us anymore. Okay? So they even started to resent us a little bit, perhaps. Yes. Not too overtly, but we had won. Because what we'd wanted to achieve in turning council from a council that didn't have a clue and was maybe a bit adverse to any good things environmentally to one that was, you know, right on top of it and becoming the best in the state in terms of bushland management. Now,
are they still?
I don't think they're too bad, but I've lost touch in the last couple of years. So that is the first plan of management that
I think I mentioned that, but I'm not sure whether
it was that one or I didn't look into that, but I thought maybe you're talking about a later one. This was the first one written for council, I think the first one written in the state for urban bushland, and maybe the first in Australia, I'm not too sure. No one's ever been able to tell me about an earlier one. Mm-hmm. Now, who wrote that? The Bushland Management Working Party wrote it all, except for the bushfire one that a fellow called Murray McCafferty, who was the council's bushfire man, who stayed with the committee most of that time, he wrote the bushfire one. I wrote the rest, advised by the committee, because all these people had expertise I didn't have, people like Dr. Harley Wright, who's Jane Guy's brother, you will have heard of Jane Guy.
I think I met Harley Wright too.
He was
in the EPA, was he at one stage?
Yeah, he was at one stage, and Janet Fairley Cunningham and Helen Pearson. These people had the clues. I enjoy writing. It was my typist at work who typed the whole thing. We gave it to council. One or two of their people might have looked through it and they printed it. So you had step people, you had Janet Fairley Cunningham from Cubes, who were, you know, instrumental in launching Ku-ring-gai into a better environmental space.
How did the bushfire man you mentioned react to Step's approach to
selective hand clearing?
Yeah, selective hand clearing.
Look, he was fine. He was a bit of a diplomat. I haven't found anybody who I've discussed that with or confronted that with who hasn't said, yes, that's a good idea. What Murray McCafferty would have said, I think, I don't know if he's still there, would have said, I think, yeah, but it's got to be in conjunction with hazard reduction burns, because you need to get out.
And you do it all by hand clearing, and if there were a lot of people.
Well, you just can't do it.
No.
And the step method was only supposed to go 20 or 30 metres anyway.
Okay, yeah.
So you can, I can show you what I do out here, which follows that exactly. So they weren't averse to it, but they didn't ever propose it as official council policy. So what we did, the way that this thing worked, the Western Management Working Party, is that we reported to the Parks and Reserves Committee, and the Parks and Reserves Committee had people from us, from the sports crew, from the Wildflower Garden, from the St Ives Showground, and did I say the sports organisations. And so it was a Parks and Reserves sort of thing. So we got to attend there, which was really good, because that gave us, and both Helen Peterson or I were step representatives
yes,
there.
Yes.
We were only allowed one, so the other one was...
Oh, okay.
So the other one
yes.
was a representative from the community.
Oh, all right. Yes.
No, a full member.
Okay, you went, yeah.
But a community member. And so we would do these sort of reports, and I've obviously done that every month for the Parks and Reserves. I mean,
the sector road needs study.
Yeah, so that's just...
So 89, that was starting to come to the fore.
Yeah, so that's just one that I had lying around here. And then we just carried on. So at some point when the aldermen disappeared, then I chaired it for 5 years. And so here you can see we've got me, Helen Peterson, Janet Fairley Cunningham,
Harley Wright. I'm sure I knew him. He did something at Macquarie.
No, that
I might have even taught him. if he did a postgraduate environmental.
That could be. He's about our age. He's
yeah.
Got a PhD in something.
Yes.
Yeah. That could be. So all of these, we had to take them in as ourselves, type them up ourselves, buy the books ourselves, you know. But we soldiered on.
You still had access to council, though.
We
they read them reports.
We
hope you hope.
We what we always met at council.
Yes.
And after a while, David was a council employee. He's with.
So that's David Costello.
David Costello. Do you know David?
No.
And, so the fact that STEP was very instrumental in all of this... What happened? We'd take these recommendations to Parks and Reserves.
Mm-hmm.
Parks and Reserves would then pass that recommendation. That's a formal recommendation onto council. And usually at a council meeting, because the councillors have so much to consider... It would just be passed. So we got all these recommendations formally approved by council.
Mm-hmm.
Did they do anything to do what the recommendation recommended? Usually not.
Now, John Martin, I'm sure, when I spoke to him, felt that this aspect of council's work has sort of been overrun by development concerns somewhat in the last few years.
We'll get to that when we
okay.
when we talk about other things. Well, he's right, but of course councils are creatures of the state government.
Yes.
And they really have no choice.
Okay.
Back, you know, 20 years ago, could have 100,000 people. Now it's got 120, 130. You know, headed up to 200,000 or 300,000. So, and council really can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
So the bush land management. I can give you chapter and verse on various things. One of the things that we were able to achieve through there, you know, the arterial road from St Ives to
yes, yes.
Now you know, Cooler, as you're coming towards St Ives, you know, Cooler Road, Cooler, whatever it is. The arterial goes down, and there's quite a steep bend, and yes, it goes down yes. to the creek.
Yes.
Now what happened there was that there was a around the corner there was a head-on collision,
I
and
I sort of remember that.
A 19-year-old yes. girl from St Ives was left with brain damage. So what council and the chief engineer in particular, Ian Pollock, wanted to do was to cut that corner out. So they wanted to excavate. Because the bushland was way up above the road on the right-hand side going towards the ice and go straight through the bush, a huge, deep cutting to cut.
I remember that.
Good corner.
Yep.
So we opposed that. And Ian Pollock said, well, obviously you're in favour of young women having brain damage, was the way he ran his argument. However, there was sufficient of the civil engineer left in me to know you know how to go about things. You just stop head on collisions by putting jersey curbs in the middle of the road.
Yes.
Which are there as a result of this. And you improve the line of sight just a bit just by nicking a little bit off the inside of the coin. So that's a speech that I made to council. Now, because STEP at this point was so sufficiently respected, they all listened, they all clapped, and that's what we did. So we had a lot of victories.
Good.
There's a,
94, yeah.
There's a fair bit in your thing that talks about things that weren't victories or weren't quite victories. I'm trying to make the point that I was there representing STEP.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of victories. This was a complete victory. Some of them were partial victories, so, Graham.
So 1994, wasn't it?
Yeah, you can have that bit of paper if you want.
Are you sure?
Oh, yeah, sure. Because, as you can see, I made the copy yesterday of a very tattered original, so I still got the original. So we had to do things like that, go and talk to council at various stages, and I'm not the only one who did that. All sorts of, you know, obviously I'm talking more about the time when I was more involved, because that's what I know.
Were there many actual representations in person to state government departments? Yeah, the next step up from council.
Well, I went to see Griner one day when he was the Premier, and he gave me a written signed letter on the spot saying the Lancashire Valley Freeway wouldn't be built while he was in charge.
Remarked on that,
I can't talk for everybody else, but I went to see the Department of Rain Roads as it was then.
Yes, yes.
You could tell, I went to see a fellow, what's his name? Forget. But he was quite a senior engineer there. And I said, now look, we were talking about the Lancashire Valley Freeway. He said, look, it won't be built. He said, we know there'll be blood in the streets, was the word he used, if we try to build that. So, you know, you could see that we were starting to win.
Yes.
There was an impression. So, yes, I went to see people. I even went to see the DMR's landscape architect to talk about how they treated roadside verges and the centre of freeways and that sort of stuff. And I'm sure the other presidents did other such things.
Yes, yes.
Is that what you meant?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're talking about going to, or taking recommendations to council. I wondered if it went to the next level as well.
Yeah, it
certainly did.
We usually stop with council, but then as we, once we absorbed the Tabs people, we got more involved with Hornsby, and that was more Barry Tomkinson's time. He got much more in involved with Hornsby because, you know, the two intersect, the bushland's all the same.
Sure, that's right.
So are you going to talk to him? Are you going to talk to
I want to talk to him over the phone if I can. But...
Yeah, I think he comes to Sydney occasionally. He's really worth talking to. He was very, very good, Barry. I mean, all that, the presidents have been... so, at one point, for the Bushland Management Working Party, I listed all the recommendations that we had made to that point. This is from 81 up to... See, this is on my old printer, up to 86.
So a lot there, and what, 5 years?
These were all specific recommendations.
Yeah, okay.
And if you're at all interested, you can have that and give it back to me when you're through. But I mean, it's whether you want to look at what typically was going on. Now, one of the things that we got done, as you mentioned in your thing, was we got the bushland survey done. She says, yes, I agree with John. It'd be easy if I had a PDF Dropbox acceptable to trigger my brain. In other words, she'd like to have a look at it.
Yeah,
I was only involved in the early stages and memories are hazy. Well,
she got involved again later, though.
But she's a committing a member now.
Yes.
When I was withdrawing from the committee, I got in touch with her and had a cup of coffee up at Hornsby, and I talked her into rejoining. Because I said,
she didn't talk you into rejoining.
I was there far too long, right?
Yes.
Far too long.
Now, this is probably jumping onto something completely.
That's right.
I liked your lament.
Oh, the lament, oh, did you?
Was it a lack of response to that led you to sort of leave?
Oh, no, no, no.
No?
No, no, no. I had spent my life chairing too many meetings, attending too many other meetings, thousands of them. At work, environmental groups, working party, blah, 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 blah. I really had enough. When Christine became ill in 94, I resigned from everything at that point because there were things to do at home. But I had a good 10, 12 years of a pretty full-on involvement,
sure,
as well as trying to run a company.
Yes.
Then after all that, I think I rejoined the committee. And when I sold the company, then I agreed to become president again and be on the committee and so on. But I think you can hang around too long. And I think one of the problems with TABS, the Thornley Area Bushland Society, and with Cubes, was that they were led by very strong people who didn't let go. Janet Fairley Cunningham,
even though
she backed off at Elizabeth Hartnell, I think, ran for a while, but it was still sort of a one-person show.
Yes.
Now, I think you need renewal.
Yes.
So I'm still involved in that I do the twittering for Step. No one else wanted to do it, and I'm a bit of a...
So you're a Donald Trump. You're a Donald Trump.
I don't do it at 3 a.m. let me tell you. So I've done maybe 1 or 2,000 tweets for...
Okay, I've never been involved in Twitter. Facebook, but not on Twitter.
Look, it's sort of interesting, but I have found it disappointing because I had hoped that it would be a venue for ideas and people sparking off of one another, and I thought that who might take the lead in that is the committee, but no, yeah. the committee's not really interested. I think they're all too old and Facebooked out or tweeted out or something or other.
Yeah, it's just coming back to the lament.
Yes.
From a different angle, did it provoke any more involvement on the part of members? Did it succeed?
I very often, as I'm sure the other presidents and people that have written newsletters, I often got good comments about the newsletter from people that you'd run into and that sort of thing. But no, it's very hard to stir them out of their torpor, Graham.
And even more so now.
So, that's just to give you some idea of the enormous amount of work that Step was doing through outreach, if you like.
Yes, yes.
There was the Lane Cove Valley Catchment Management Committee.
Mm.
There was the Northern Metropolitan National Parks. I think I've referred to them in some of the notes I made. So, do you want to browse through that?
I'll just have a browse through it and get it back to you.
Yeah, I mean, the point really isn't the individual recommendations, unless you find an interesting one there. The point really is that I'm going to be emphasising over and over again is just a huge amount of work that everybody has done.
The other major thing that STEP may have achieved, and I want to ask you if you think it did or not, is educating the community, I guess.
Oh, yes. 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 Yes, I think so. I mean, it's hard to know what sinks in, but I think that has really been one of our successes. We've gone from being a group that really didn't want something to happen in a few people's backyards at South Tongara to a group that is really interested in the whole world.
That's right.
And obviously you have to start here and spread yourself out. So, yes, I think we've had a very big influence, and I think that ordinary middle-class people such as we have had on the STEP committee. I mean, you take Jill Green as an actuary, Bruno Krockenberg as an engineer who's very senior with Civil and Civic.
Mm-hmm.
I was, simply a businessman, a capitalist. certainly, we weren't the sort of people that back in the early 80s council was expecting to put their hands up.
Yes, yes.
So suddenly we had these, if you like, mainstream people.
Mm.
Who thought the environment was important. Mm. So I think we had a big influence. We were supported by, some very good people. For instance, Elaine Maliki is one of our members.
Yes.
So I guess you probably know her.
I don't know her personally.
Yeah. I mean, she's been a huge support over the years.
Yes, yes.
So there we are. So you've seen that? You've seen the position paper?
Yes, on the website.
On the website, okay.
Mm.
And you've obviously seen that. Have you seen that?
No.
Right. We had thousands of these done and distributed. This was the Coalition Against Lane Cove Valley Freeways. And do we see here who the coalition was? I think I've said to you somewhere it would be worth saying just who was behind the coalition.
Okay.
I don't think it's...
So you've annotated all the chapters, basically?
Yeah. I had to do it pretty fast. And I didn't want to send them to you because I didn't know how sensitive you'd be. I didn't want to give offence. I didn't want you to...
The prefaces, I've got a lot more on the preface.
Yeah, quite a bit more.
That was an afterthought. Jill or Helen said there really ought to be a preface.
Yeah, well, you can take or leave my things, as I say. So this is something that I drafted, and all the others on the coalition, like Elaine and others, had input into it, and then I paid to have it printed, and we distributed thousands of the buggers. Now, confused about B1, yeah, B2,
okay,
B3?
Good. Very good.
As soon as I saw that, I thought, I know what you need.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, this is the one that was going to come through across Fox Valley Road, and the easement is still there, up to a point at any rate.
Yes, so he is
the F2.
Quarry Park. So here's Pierce's Corner.
Yep.
And here's coming down not far from Fox Valley Road behind the sand here.
Yep.
No, that's not behind. This is behind the sand here.
Yeah.
And then chug. And the first one was going straight across here on fill. So if you go down and have a look how deep that is, I got the original drawing.
It's down behind the high school.
I suppose so, yeah. Yeah, but then there were these other ones. This one went right through the middle of South Tramore. That was fantastic because that's what radicalised so many people. Mm-hmm. That's where we've got Bruno from and Karen Morrison from and these people who are so effective. And this one here. So that's yours.
Oh, thank you. I can't remember having received one of those, but we lived in the area. We should have. Maybe we...
I forget how we distributed them or what... Went on, but I've just chucked away a whole leftover box, and I've got 20 or 30 that I poured out. So some of these things I poured out, and I think I've already convinced you. That's Tabs. That's the Thornley area Bushland Society.
Okay, I really sort of have limited time. I think now though. If they want to get it out by the anniversary or anywhere near that.
So when's the anniversary?
12th of April.
Oh, yes.
It's not going to be out by then. But
yeah. No, well, the fact is we absorbed Tabs and it was from the Bushland Society.
I've got a fair bit about that.
Have you?
Got as much about absorbing cubes, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm sure. And all the... She transferred over all the members, and there we are. Now, the subject you've skirted around, Graham, is population.
Yeah, I know you did a paper on it.
Because I consider population, and everyone on the STEP committee agreed with me, at least no one disagreed, to be the greatest threat to the environment. No one understands, well, that's an exaggeration, maybe a tiny minority of people understand exponential growth, and they don't understand that at our current rate of growth of 1.6%, we're going to have 100 million people in Australia in 90 years. My grandchildren will probably, some of them, still be alive.
Yep.
Now, when you look at the environmental harm that's been done as we've gone from the Aboriginal population to 25 million, say an average of 12.5 for argument's sake, when you have a look at what we've destroyed, dry land salinity, the river systems, you know, all those things, why are we hurtling towards 100 million? 45 years after that, 200 million. 45 years after that, 400 million people in 180 years. And nobody will discuss the process by which that's going to stop. No one will discuss... if it should stop. Some people say, yes, it should stop, and say, how? Is it when we're going to be so degraded that we're going to be a big Mexico city, or being an intelligent society, can we talk about it? Now, the Greens won't touch it, the ACF won't touch it, WWF won't touch it, nobody will touch it.
So it's too
because
sensitive.
They're afraid of being accused of being racist, of being in the same box as Pauline Hanson. Now, environmental fighters are supposed to be braver than that. You know, they're supposed to be proud to point out that we could bring... Firstly, you must realise that Australia's fertility, if there was no net immigration, would stabilise the population. It's less than two.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So the population has been added to by immigration. We can bring immigration down to what it used to be, maybe in the early Howard years, to 70,000. We could increase our refugee intake, which completely, you know, which I'm in favour of, and most people around STEP would be in favour of, I imagine. We could increase our refugee intake and prove that it isn't a racist approach to things. The fact that Pauline Hanson is approaching... a similar wish from a different direction is not something we should be cowed in by. And so you'll find, I'm sure you've seen in the newsletters from the, you know, from quite early times, and then Barry Tomkinson's carried it on, and Jill, I think, has carried it on. To me, it's our proudest achievement that we're the one significant group that has been prepared to have the guts to stand up and say, this is maybe the greatest environmental threat. Of course, it's also a world problem, just like global warming. And there are different solutions to the world problem, like, you know, obvious things like lifting the living standards of women, freeing up women so they're in charge of themselves.
I mean,
all those things.
The present government doesn't seem able to go back to those root causes, if you like.
And in this paper, I say why. It is because, and look, we've seen all these financial scandals bubbling around.
Yes.
It's because the if you take the...
So could I borrow that too?
It's yours. If you take 15 minutes or so to read this, it's because people like the BCA, the Business Council of Australia,
yes,
they and the other big business organisations, they have got their lobbyists haunting the corridors of our parliaments every day, every week.
Yes.
They're giving huge donations.
They have much more access than the environmental lobbyists.
Exactly right. And the environmental lobbyists, as I have said to the ACF and to anyone else who listens, they're just cowards. They don't have the guts to stand up. You pin down the individuals, and they'll say, "Oh yes, 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 I agree." But we can't go there.
Do they not have the resources?
No. If you take the ACF, they had Professor Ian Lowe.
Ian Lowe.
Now he wrote a book called "Better Not Bigger" or something like that, which I have in there. He was the president of the ACF, and he couldn't talk them because of the conservatism of the councillors. He couldn't talk them into doing anything. They've got a population policy which is hidden under a bushel.
Okay.
So you really, even if you personally happen to disagree with me, you can't write a history of STEP, I submit, without dealing with how we went about
this. Okay, it's mentioned, but it should be mentioned more.
I did hope to make the point. Excuse me for ranting, so it's all
thank
there.
You. Okay.
Okay. All right, so that's population. Now, I can email all this.
I just ask, do you think STEP can make a real contribution in these much broader issues like population and climate change? Or is it too small an organisation for that?
If you can sit down and talk to people, I mean, I've been to see the Barry O'Farrell, and that was useless. I've been to see the fellow from down at Linfield. His name temporarily
escapes me too.
And talk to them. Look, incrementally, I mean, we sent that paper to every politician in New South Wales, I think. I think sent it to a whole lot of federal politicians. Do you have an impact? I think incrementally you do.
Yes.
So what I have personally tried to do, it's got nothing to do with your history, but there's an organisation called SPAR, Sustainable Population Australia, which has the same problem of not enough resources. A very good website.
Yes.
And so I'm partially funding a full-time employee, which nothing to do with STEP. I'm just doing that personally, so that we have somebody to haunt the you know, the corridors of power, and to write more letters to newspapers and
where the step can deal with the larger issues. I mean, I think John Martin felt that now there's not the netball courts, there's not the freeways through the valley, step lacks that local big issue.
That's true. That's true, because we have one, or at least disposed of those issues.
Well, the netball courts has come up again, but lights there. And
I see that as being important, but yes, relatively small.
Sure.
Global warming is more important.
Yeah, but does STEP need something local to get people involved again? Because it's sort of...
You can't manufacture it, though.
The member numbers are going down, the committee's well down.
Sure. Sure. So what I have said in here, I think, is that there's no reason that STEP can't, as I think it has done in the past, it may not be obvious from what you've had to read, has just gone back into a sort of a semi-hibernation. That's too strong a word.
Yes.
It's just consolidated.
And then it's reinvented itself.
Yeah, and then as issues have arisen, it's been there to take up the slack, especially if more people get radicalised. So I think just so long as, I mean, obviously it won't be my decision. I'm not on the committee anymore, but I would hope it would continue, even in a reduced form, because the brand is very important.
Mm. Yes,
you know, you have a look at brands like Xerox or Kodak. They're still very recognised, and I think some of them are coming back again.
Yes, okay.
But in the meantime, we can continue to plug away. You know, we could, for instance, investigate what council is doing about global warming in terms of its own facilities. Does it have batteries and solar on the roof? And you know, if it doesn't, should we be making a presentation to them about that? You know, and putting pressure on them. So I think there probably are some local issues. It depends on how much energy the committee's got, because this is very wearing. It takes it out of you.
It depends how large those local issues have to be. If it's one individual development,
yes,
it might be too small for STEP to be involved in.
Yes. Yeah. Except if Blue Gum High Five.
Oh, yes, yes, something like that. Like that's that, right, yeah. Yes.
No, you're exactly right.
I mean, there's an out-of-character development proposed for Fox Valley Road, but I don't know if you know about that, but 10 seniors... units on a single block of land.
No, I haven't seen that. We did get the sand thing downgraded.
Yes, yes, but that's true.
They were looking for 2,000 apartments there, and I think we got it down to 600. But it's still going to be a catastrophe. I mean, you know...
Well, the traffic certainly will be.
Traffic is interesting.
It's already a catastrophe.
When you talk to the sand people, and I've been to see the CFO of the SAN, and they say, well, the RTA, what are they called these days, tell us the traffic won't be a problem. We're going to improve some intersections. I said, well, you could make the roundabouts at Lucinda and Ada six lanes each. It's getting onto the Pacific Highway in PTR, getting onto Pennant Hills Road.
That's right.
You know, getting onto... the road down the end, the Ride Road or the Lane Cove Road, whatever it is.
Lane Cove,
That's where the hold-ups are. And so we're putting a school here for K to 12, 900 students. You're going to get all the mums and dads turning up in their four-wheel drives, drop them off and pick them up.
Yep.
But council couldn't see that. The RTA couldn't see that. Although we did have some success in...
It's not as bad as it could have been.
Okay, so I might just give you these...
I won't be offended.
Oh, that's good, because otherwise I'll throw them off.
Some of it I may have already done, but...
Yes, of
the preface your version, I think that version was done very quickly when Jill or Helen, whichever,
wanted it done. This is just me explaining what I've done.
Yeah, sure.
And then there's just a few little notes there. I'll see if there's anything here worthy of discussion here. Achievements. So I've added in another couple of potential achievements.
Well, I took that was a direct quote from the website, so whether I can then add others, I'm not sure.
Do you say it's from the website?
Yes.
Well, I think...
Well, I can say afterwards that there are also these, which aren't listed on the website.
Yeah. You'd always get Helen to change the website. She'd probably be happy to do that if you show her.
She would? Okay.
It's all good here. You say here. You talk. This is about the original hoo-ha over the netball courts. You're talking about the mayor and the deputy mayor. I say I wouldn't hesitate to name the bastards.
Oh, okay.
So the mayor was Richard Lennon.
Who was a local alderman.
Yes, he just lived on Fox Valley Road.
But he was local for South Tauramarra, wasn't he?
Yes. Kominara Ward.
Mm. I better not say bastards, though.
You can say whatever you like.
John Burke says.
Yeah. You can quote me. So this is just talking about weed control here. You talked about refuse and lawn clippings. I talk about the effect of increased water and nutrients.
Okay.
Which is something that Harley Wright would be happy to see and would be.
Yes.
Okay. So look, these are just comments. Yeah. Now I can't find Robin Buchanan's report. I have it somewhere, but I keep tidying up. It's my trouble.
No, don't.
But it was huge.
Yep.
It was two volumes. One that thick and one that thick, and it gave council a baseline. So now it could go to any reserve you like, have a look at the current state of the weeds, regeneration, whatever, and compare it to the way it was.
Okay.
Whether they're using it, I don't know, Graham. Whoops, two to a page here.
That's all right. Mm-hmm. Saving paper.
So this is just a comment on the fact that we may have outgrown the South Tauramarra aspect of our existence. I'm sort of suggesting there that perhaps we outgrew it much earlier.
Okay.
You can think of it. I mean, these are, you'll accept or reject these things. So this is about fire, hazard reduction, burning. You talk about the Banksia ericifolia. Apart from the birds, one reason not to burn that too often is that it takes 7 years to set
surface. Okay, yep.
And therefore it can't regenerate.
Lots of native plants are like that.
Yeah, if you burn more than once every 7 years. On the other hand, they tend to die after 50.
Yep.
So one could draw the inference that the Aboriginal burning was between 7 and 50 years.
Yes.
And so on. Now the building of the tunnel called North Connect.
Yeah.
I've made some comments there. We were very much in favour of it. So we argued for it.
I've made the promise that I will never drive through it.
Well,
with all the trucks, I'd rather stay on Bennett Hills Road once the trucks have gone.
Well, it's going to be compulsory for the trucks to go.
Yes, I know.
We did all these submissions, and I've got files still on all of that. I've got a whole box on what the submissions on freeways.
So you're happy with the exhaust towers for that?
I don't know. There'll be sufficient other people to make a fuss about that.
Yes.
Obviously the M5, the exhaust situation is a catastrophe.
Yes.
That's because the big construction companies that didn't win it, they had proper exhaust in it.
Okay.
But I think it was
saving money.
Barclays or someone who built it, so it fills up with gas and it's just horrible. Yeah. I hope that they've learnt their lesson, and there's a fair bit of fuss going on, so fingers crossed on that, but I've got other things to do these days. But so it's Controversial, well, it will be controversial because of that.
Sure.
But what people always assume before they've thought about it is that what we need is more radio routes to the CBD.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that, of course, isn't what we want, especially if it goes through bushland, but it's not what we want anyway.
No.
So what we could do with, however, is a way of a truck going from Queensland to Victoria, coming down the F3, M1, whatever it is these days.
The inland route.
Well, let's say it's not starting Queensland, let's say it's starting in Newcastle.
Yes, yes.
To go past Sydney, not into the CBD and then back out again.
Sure.
Or down Pennant Hills Road, which is what they're doing now. And so in terms of inter-capital city freeway connection, if that will connect up with the M7, we thought that something's going to happen, and so we're better to push it to the least undesirable or the most desirable thing.
Yep. Yep.
There is, however, an awful lot of people, a fellow called Brian Ash, who I've never met, but who had letter after letter and submission after submission to all these inquiries saying that it shouldn't be built at all, that there should be another freeway built further out west.
Yes.
Which would...
That would go through a lot of bushland across
through,
the Hawkes.
It would go through two national parks.
Yep.
And it would meet the M7 at Dean Park.
Yes.
Which is northwest of Blacktown. That's where the M7 turns. And it would come in there. An absolute catastrophe, which is also only going to add to the destruction of so much more of Sydney.
Yes,
it would be an avenue for Sydney's growth.
Yep.
And some people think that's a good thing, of course. So I've just made a comment about that. So they were just people who wanted to get... You see, these same people still believe that the tunnel or that road out west would reduce traffic on Pennant Hills Road. Now, I coined this term demographic feedback, which I talk about in here somewhere, whereby what happens, it was like we told the RTA that the M2 would fill up and be a parking lot. They said, don't be stupid.
All new roads do, don't they?
My best friend who lives just up the road was the design manager on the job. And, you know, they said, oh, don't be silly, but of course... It has happened, and they're now widening it. But Pennant Hills Road, for the first few weeks, beautiful.
Yep.
And then that demographic feedback kicks in. People say, oh, the roads are much better. It's more convenient to take my car to go to work. Okay?
Yes.
Or, you know, it's not three quarters of an hour to work now. It's only half an hour. I can sleep in 15 minutes. Mm. Or in the case of the F3 M1, oh, shit, I can now... have a nice house I can afford at Tuggera and work at Chatswood.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And so by that process, the road fills up pretty quickly. When it's so congested that it's giving people the opposite feedback, then they start making the opposite
Another
decisions.
One. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So to me, that Pennant Hills Road will always be chockers. The tunnel may not be because of the toll. But once again, people will use Pennant Hills Road, in general, exceptions always, until Pennant Hills Road is so congested they think, oh shit, it's worth the $5 to take the toll.
Yes.
Anyway, so I've made some comments there.
Yeah. So I can take all these with your comments on.
Yes. I can... I don't think there's very much in here. Oh, that's just a full stop or something. And I did...
What did I say, those... Minor typos may well have already been correct.
Oh, there's
not much there at all.
Didn't say much there, did I? I must have been daydreaming. I'll give you that anyway so you can see that there aren't any, which you might be wondering otherwise. And I've just written the population here because we're talking about the population. I'm not going to bash you anymore about that. I did this last couple of chapters reasonably fast.
They're almost there, aren't they? Except right at the end.
Yeah, and this is where you talk about the future.
And you think I've been too pessimistic?
Amalgamating with, who knows, with other organisations. The South Tama Progress Association, yeah, that's an obvious candidate, for instance, to be absorbed or absorbed into. But he's just worried about South Tamara.
Yes.
You know,
it's back to that smaller and geographical area.
And I don't think STEP will ever be like that again.
No, no.
We have struggled and we still struggle to cast off the South Tamara Environment Protection. People still spell it out in full,
yes,
which is one way of assessing how well we've got known, because people will continually, you know, use...
What does STEP mean?
Use, well, yeah, they will continually use the full, yes, the full name.
Do you think it needs a different name?
No.
That doesn't need to get away from STEP?
I don't think so. We just have to keep working on it. It's a, I mean, you take BHP. It's no
nothing
longer
much
just
to do
Hill.
With Broken Hill, is it?
So I always use that.
Yes.
CSR is no longer that.
Yes.
Colonial Sugar.
So I take a
lead from them. But the one would be Folk. You remember Folk? That's friend of Kuringai Environment. Now they're very...
Oh yeah, Folk.
Very
F-O-K-E.
They're very active and very strong group. But once again, they were the creature of Anne Carroll, who's the wife of Ian Carroll, who was he's just resigned as chairman of the National Trust.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so on. And she has stood aside, as she should have, after some years and years and years. And Cathy Cowley, who has been involved all that time, has taken over. But they're mostly concerned with the built heritage.
Yes.
And you've got very strong personalities there. But they do good work, and we have been associated with them. They've heard what I've said on population. They even had Dick Smith to talk to them.
Yes.
But they, once again, they're too scared to make it a frontline issue.
I was going to say before, Dick Smith is one person who has been,
that's right,
fairly outspoken on that issue.
And becoming even more so.
Yes.
So. If it were my decision, which it isn't, I'd be if necessary, for STEP retreating to a smaller core, keeping the brand alive, watching out for opportunities, and doing whatever the committee of the day is capable of.
And keeping the focus on the natural environment.
Yes, yes.
Not joining folk and looking at...
I think so. No, not
going into the built environment.
We're not so concerned. Very sympathetic, but not so concerned about old houses in Linfield.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
But certainly concerned about the tree cover. This is where we intersect so much.
Yes.
Because as the old houses go, the patterns go up, and there's tree cover. If you have a look at the aerial photos from the war onwards, you'll see the tree cover from Chatswood up is just slowly being, being thinned. So, I would think it's best to keep the identity, to keep the aims, to look for opportunities, certainly spread out into global warming, population, things that affect the world.
Try to increase membership. Try to get more people back on the committee. It's down to 5, I think, now.
Always. Always. Always.
So, okay.
I don't know whether that's been all that helpful. But
it has been extremely helpful.